audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And tonight, I want to welcome back to the show James Marsters from, Angel. And
hey.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Spike. I don't know if any, is there any character that's gone from one series to the next? I mean, there's spinoff.
In the evening, yeah.
There's Mork.
Yeah, Mork.
There's Maud.
Maud. Yeah, Rhoda.
Yeah, but these.
Okay. I'm following in Big's footsteps here.
All right, but true.
Those are sitcoms.
True. Well, not only sitcoms, but these, they're spinning off into their own.
Yeah.
Into their own.
Right, they weren't just appearing on another show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they all got their own shows, whereas, like, I didn't.
Well, that's what we're saying. That's a mark of distinction. Somebody has to have the record for least strikeouts in 1,000 innings pitched.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The point is, it's a record. That's what I'm saying.
I got something.
It's better being the second most in anything.
Right. But by the way, who the hell would have guessed that you'd be doing Spike and doing a character on one network and one TV show and then sort of slide into another TV show?
I absolutely never thought. I thought that I was going to come down here and work really hard and humiliate myself for a little tiny bit amount of money and then leave and go back to theater. I never saw this coming at all.
So the run, the Spike run, are we on year 7 or something?
Yeah.
What year are we on?
Yeah.
Year seven?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Drew, what are you nodding like you knew?
I saw 6 here on Buffy, and I knew this new year was an Angel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, Drew, I didn't even see that. You see, that was just my own cat-like sense.
It's because you've been... I know, it was pretty good, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because you've been so whiny about being in South Pasadena today, filming your Martha Stewart show. But by the way, my kid's baseball diamond is right off Los Robles.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come visit
to visit
Saturday.
The kiddies tomorrow.
Saturday. Yeah,
you're working with Martha, huh?
I was... it's goddamn television. I'm hosting some thing for ABC that's not airing for a month, and we won't get into it yet because we got to talk about Angel. But the 2 1-hour specials about sort of crowning the next Martha Stewart, book deals and so on and so forth. So I'm at the beginning. And I'm like, well, what should we do at the top? Well, this is the heir apparent to Martha Stewart. No, we can't mention her name. We can't bring her name up. That's, you know, we talked to the lawyers. We're not be able to bring her name up. I said, all right. Well, what if we do this? You know, as you know, there's quite a void to be filled in this particular, you know, a particular someone is having some trouble. And there's some mighty big shoes to fill. No, we can't allude. We can allude to her.
How good are her lawyers?
I'm like, wow. First off,
what are we doing?
Whole reason alluding was invented was so you could allude. You understand? I mean, the essence of alluding is nullified by not being able to allude.
Yes, there's no
alluding was invented because you could not
mention
the other thing. Now we're going to have to allude to the alluders. I mean, what do we? You know,
now
I'm like,
and by the way, but by the way, isn't the show an allusion to her? Isn't alluding just by virtue of what you're doing?
All I'm saying is I'm like going, I'm not going to say we need to fill the shoes of the smelly skank who may possibly do some time for, you know, RICO Act
or
something.
No, you want to be respectful.
Just saying, yes, the
queen.
The queen has stepped down. She's advocated the throne, and now we're going to need someone else to step up and take the scepter. No, no.
Can you say Arthur May Ward Stayer or something?
Yeah. You can only do the pig Latin, Martha Stewart. So it was fantastic. And, you know, me, it's like, I'm always like this. I start arguing for 10 seconds, and then it's like, let's just move forward here. Let's cut our losses. When do we get paid? What's going on? Anyway, it was good times over there in Drew's hometown of Pasadena.
Nice.
Angel is on Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock, on the WWWWB.
Yeah. And watch, because they've been kicking our butts for the last 4 episodes of the season are good.
Oh, yeah.
We paid a price, yeah.
Now, the last episode is May 19th. So that's and now let's see. I'm reading here that we're going. What's up? Are they taking the show off the air?
Yeah, they totally are, man. They canceled us. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But we got to start a letter writing campaign, right?
They did. They did. They had people. Some people were driving around with a billboard downtown.
Wow.
They were selling chocolate bars.
What?
NPR
trying to raise money?
Did a thing on it. They
really?
Did like a segment on Save the Angel on Morning Edition.
Well, it has
something.
It, you know, our dear, dear, dear friend Seth MacFarlane, who does The Family Guy.
Oh, yeah. He got back on the air because
had a show that was on for a couple of seasons, got moved around a lot, got booted off, and then the fans sort of brought it back, and now they're going back to work on it.
Yeah. Well, they're already talking about other, like, movies and television movies and stuff with the characters and stuff, so the thing's not dead at all. But sorry, right in the mind. Oh. Yeah, they're already talking about other projects with the characters, and but I think for right now the Angel series is going to be gone.
Well, then what's next for James?
Well, I'm going to shave my head.
Yeah.
That's step one. And then I have to get to know people as an American with brown hair.
Yeah.
And my manager thinks I'm going to be a big leading man star, and he wants me to do that. And I think I might try that, but I also think I might just be a character actor.
You've been... Your hair is almost looks the consistency of mine. Drew.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've got exactly like your... Yeah,
that's
very
frightening.
And I'm going to do just like your hair. Just cut it real short.
Wow.
Because what else do? It's big and bushy or short?
Yeah, you can get work as a superhero called Brillo Head. I was called in high school.
Oh, man. Mine was Monkey.
Oh,
I'll
really?
Take Brillo Head in a second.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how old you are, James, but if you're anywhere close to my age...
Yeah, I'm probably older than...
We had to... Feathered hair was all the rage when I was in junior high.
I'm 42.
So you remember?
Yeah, that. I remember feathered hair. I wanted that so bad.
Right.
I used to comb my hair like for hours.
Adam did this.
Oh man,
the comb over.
It's like I used to think if I could find the right brush or the right comb, that would be the. I used to mail order for these weird brushes.
Oh my
God, were we sick in those days?
Oh,
think of what they did to kids in the '70s. They destroyed them.
Let me tell you who. Basically, my hair. I looked like, remember the principal in Room 222?
Yeah.
So there was a character actor had hair that it just looked like you would pull one off and it would snap like a twig, you know? I mean, when you take curly, thick, nappy Sicilian hair and you try to comb it, it looks like kindling.
Hey, and by the way, what was the matter with the people that cut hair in those days? Why didn't they just say, hey,
all right, let me just tell you goddamn snot-nosed kids something and how good you have it. Here's the thing that you kids can do. First off, you wear your hair any way you want to wear your hair. If you're a white dude and you want cornrows, so be it. If you want dreads, so be it. If you want to go clean-shaven,
so be it.
Yeah. I mean, when has there ever been a time in history where one dude had cornrows and he was getting tail, the other dude had dreads, he was getting tail, and the other guy was flat bald and was getting tail?
Yeah.
When did this hit? Buzz cut, crew cut, rockabilly,
whatever
you want. Here's the point. Your hair, it's like a river. Whatever direction it flows, fine. But in our day, it all had to head one direction.
Oh, yeah. Farrah Fawcett.
And
that was the direction.
Yeah. Right.
But the guys looked like Farrah too from behind. That was a problem.
Leif Garrett was the apparent.
That would freak me out in high school, man.
And
guy turned out to be my friend.
Oh, one of the Hardy boys over there too. Keith and
all right, let's get some calls going.
Here we go. Here's all I'm saying.
What do you say?
What if somebody and listen to me, you kiddies, what if someone just showed up at your school one day and said, look, here's the look, here's the hair, here's the attitude, here's the whole thing. It's disco, it's feathered, it's this and that. And you were like, yeah, I have a huge ass. It's not going to look good in those tight jeans. I don't care. Pack it in, fat ass. You know, well, my hair, it's thick. It's nappy. It's not going to fit. Nope. Get a hot comb, then, and cry me a river.
But we've broken out of that. I remember when the wet head got dead?
Yeah.
Everyone's expected not to do that anymore, all of the sudden.
Oh, my God.
Remember those days?
Yes.
I forgot
that was the slogan behind
the
that.
The wet head is dead.
We have broken the shackles of that kind of treatment.
Oh, my God.
Wet head is dead.
Caitlin, 23. Caitlin?
Yes?
I got to build a time machine, go back to junior high, and kill myself.
Yeah.
That's my plan. You want in, James?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take me out, too.
All right, Caitlin, go.
Hi. I have a question for you guys tonight.
Yeah.
I was curious about the effects of Viagra on women.
Well, it turned out they've looked at that rather carefully. And there's some effect. It's not nothing. But for the most part, it's not much. And it certainly doesn't seem to do anything to desire or drive. It can do a little bit for arousal. But the research showed that women have separate mechanisms for arousal and drive. For men, if you create arousal, you get, you know, action.
If you can figure out a way to, you know, dilate the blood vessels and get some blood down to the honker, then you're going to get a sex drive out of that
guy. It's a call to action, absolutely. Men are, at that point, driven towards orgasm that moment. For women, no such thing. No such thing. They, in fact, don't even have drive. They'll have some arousal. They'll describe arousal, but they won't have any interest in sex.
But isn't that interesting? But hold on a second.
As a guy, it's hard to understand that. It's almost impossible to understand.
But doesn't it have to get them half a step closer to the desire part to feel?
Apparently not.
No.
The desire needs to come first.
Mm.
And for women, you know, the desire part requires candles and conversation and things. And, and you know, it's different. It's very different for women.
Right,
so, Caitlin, the Viagra's not likely to do too much.
But women are also very pliable emotionally. And, you know, you give them a child's aspirin and tell them it's a horny pill, and they might just go for it.
Are you having a problem with sex drive?
A little bit. And I was just curious. I'm willing to experiment or whatever, but I'm just curious about any negative effects. Like on your reproductive system or anything like that?
No, not that we know of. Are you on any medication now?
No.
The main problem with Viagra is on the heart, and that's for people that are on cardiac medication like nitrate. So
why? What's it do?
It increases the risk of death.
Oh, hold on. Let me write that down.
Not everything's fine.
Well, what's it do? Something with the blood vessels?
We think.
Well, isn't that?
It's not well understood.
How does it know where to go? How does anything know where to go?
It goes all over the place.
That's the thing. That's the problem, right?
Right.
So it's whatever it's doing to the vessels in your dork, it's doing to the one in your heart.
Right. And the nitric oxide in the brain seems to get affected, too. So we really don't know the long-term effects. So for a healthy person to use it may not be a great idea. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Angie?
Yeah?
21? What's up?
I want to say I love your guys' show, first of all. Nice. But I recently found out that I have herpes simplex 1, and I've never had a cold sore in my entire life.
What do you mean? Whoa. What do you mean you have?
You don't hear about the simplexes anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's all the same.
But I still miss it.
Okay. Well, I got tested for everything, and my doctor asked me if I ever had cold sores before, and I told her no, and she was a little surprised by my answer.
You had a blood test?
Yeah.
Those are fairly worthless for herpes.
Okay.
They're very poorly predictive, so just don't worry about it. If you don't have it, you don't have it.
Why do they bother with it?
I don't know. I think for a while there, it was the thing to do, and then it was sort of proven to be very poorly predictive of some. It has to be used in a situation of sort of a confirmation where you really have a high level of suspicion that it can be useful. But just as a random screen, it's worthless.
Okay? So I'm curious, do I still need to worry, if...
Here's the deal, Angie. Essentially, everybody has been exposed to herpes type 1 in their mouth or in their somewhere. So, you're like everybody else. Now, can you transmit it? Well, if you're having oral sex with somebody, possibly you could, like everybody else. But if you don't have an outbreak, it's highly unlikely.
Okay.
All right, baby.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Stop worrying. I love you.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just wanted to make sure,
All right.
What are you doing out there in KC? What do you do for a living?
I go to college, and I'm actually at work right now. I work for a television station.
Really? What do you do?
I'm a video editor here, and I work overnight.
Really?
And go to school, my goodness.
You know, let me tell you something. That editing?
Yeah.
Good money.
I know. I'm very happy. You know, I'm paying my way for school now, and everybody's so proud of me.
Happy. But are you from the Midwest or something? Are you from Michigan?
Yeah. No, I'm in Kansas City. I live here, grew up here.
Get a little bit of accent from over north of there.
All right.
Oh, no, everybody asked me if I'm from, Canada or something.
You got a little bit of that Minnesota thing.
Minnesota and Wisconsin. But, and also you're in a good mood. Most people from KC are miserable.
No, the Midwest.
That's true.
Happy.
I'm in a good mood.
Angie.
It's Friday for me, so.
Yeah, good times there, baby doll.
Yeah,
TGI FNF, because I got to work Saturday and Sunday. I'm pretty miserable. I'm now pretty miserable.
That's bad.
I got to work.
You have to work tomorrow, too?
It's tomorrow, Friday?
Friday.
Yeah. Oh, tomorrow. Well, You call it Friday. I call it Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, do you have a reason for that?
It's Martha Stewart.
I got to do this. Don't mention her name.
I beg your pardon.
I got to do this special.
About
it's great.
Cooking.
It's great.
Cooking special.
Saturday's a double call, too, which is like show up at 10, you wrap you out at 3, and then I'll need you back at 6. Like kind of thing. It's like, huh? All right. So I may be coming over Saturday, Drew.
All right.
I may be crashing.
That's fine.
I give your house a quick walk
around.
We're going
to go do the
inspection.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the baseball.
Doing the baseball.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'll be napping at your house, possibly masturbating.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We'll get the wet naps out there for you.
Chris?
Hey.
You're 19?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy. What? We just like, you know, it was like Chris fell asleep. Chris fell asleep in his car on the side of the highway, and I was the cop who just came up, tapped my ring on the window, and then shined a flashlight in there. Picture him sort of leaning back, half of Mickey's big mouth falling over in his lap. Hey, man, what?
I'm cool.
What's going on? Chris?
Hey.
Hey, yeah. Okay, can I see some license and registration, please?
Insurance, proof of insurance.
Step out of the vehicle, son, sir.
Today, Junior!
We haven't talked about this in a while, but I always like when they get real wordy about stuff. What I'm going to need you to do right now, please, is step out of the vehicle, okay? Go ahead for me. It's like, how about you staying out of the car? You have 28 words in there. All right, at this point in time, what I'm going to need you to do, and I'm going to like you to do, and ask you to do, require you to do, is actually reach into your pocket, pull out your wallet, take the license from the said wallet,
the
and hand it to me, please. It's like, how about you saying, how about your license? All right, I'm going to need you to right now, what I'm going to need you to do for me, I wonder what goes on at cop school that they, you know, like.
That's the payoff for the long hours and the low pay. They get to do that. They get to string that out a little bit.
Oh,
that's
so
the moment.
I think it's a twitch, a nervous thing.
And yeah. Also, they're afraid you're going to pull a gun and kill them.
Right.
So
yeah.
That thing going on, too.
Because it's like when they go, well, how many beers did you have, son? And you're like, well, now, officer.
Do you mean today? Or
funny story.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of that. Yeah. You never go 9. You know, it's always, What I'm going to need you to do for me right now, sir, is please step out of the vehicle, okay, right now. It's always like, if I was, like,
but
looking
you know
at the officer's handbook, I'd be looking at that going, all right, let's cut this,
But how much of that is just plain old anxiety? Just think you have to walk up to somebody on the street and start talking to them. Just that. That'd be anxiety for you. You wouldn't be interested. You wouldn't relish it. You'd be like. Look, could you come over here for a second? Because I'm going to need to kind of talk to you for a minute.
No,
maybe they're trying to be polite. Maybe they're trying not to be gruff.
Could be.
I don't know. I learned a long time ago, do whatever they tell you to
do. Yes, kiss ass.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I have a smell or something.
They don't like you?
What it is.
You do. You look like trouble.
They don't like you?
No. They really want to, ever since I was a young guy, they really want to just get me down.
Well,
I remember getting mugged and getting my face split open and going to the emergency room and getting done by the cop.
He thought you brought it on yourself.
Yeah. Get out of my emergency room, you damn punk, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was just going home. You know, I'd been working all night. I'm going home. Yeah.
Weird.
Well, here's the thing I've learned too from the cops. And by the way, yes, I sympathize with them walking up, talking to strangers all day.
You always put your hands up on the steering wheel. They appreciate that.
Oh yeah,
really, and it's strangers. It's not going to be any strangers. That you're 90% probability is an a-hole stranger.
Let me tell you something.
Or a criminal stranger.
I take it a step farther. I will actually, when they tell me to get out of the car, take the wheel with me. I will not lift my hands off the wheel.
I just crawl out the window, keep my hands on the wheel.
I crawl out the window.
Yeah.
Now,
I just
wait
start
a minute.
Kissing their shoes.
Hold on. I'm trying to picture not letting go of the wheel again.
Oh, it takes some practice.
You have to be like.
It takes some practice. Yes.
You have to taco yourself in half.
One foot in the ass,
and then push the 1 foot out, and then actually, but you can still keep yourself onto the wheel.
Yes, it makes them very happy to keep your hands on the wheel. They ask for that.
Interesting. So I feel like an idiot taking the wheel off this whole time. But
how do you open the door with your hands on the wheel?
You got to disengage the airbag.
Put your ass out the window.
Okay, you're right. Drew's right.
Let's finish Chris, shall we?
Yeah, we're talking about
let's talk
anymore.
To Chris. Finish Chris.
All right, what I'm going to need you to do right now for me, son?
Chris.
Hey.
Yeah, 19.
How you doing?
And. This word has never been more laden with meaning. Action.
Just do it!
Listen. Every once in a while, after my, 15th minute of ambling on about nothing, I feel a little sorry for our callers, and I say, let's go back and see. You know what it is? You know what I feel like with our callers? I feel like that parent that was, maybe it's a little tough on the boy. That's a little tough. Let me go talk to Timmy. Timmy, listen, Daddy gives you time. He turns around and socks me in the nuts. I go, all right, that was it. Now he's getting the belt. That's what I feel like.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's take a break. Let's regroup.
All right.
James Marsters is here tonight from Angel. 9 o'clock, Wednesday, WWWWB. Start sending those letters in, kiddies.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Four more episodes. Keep this show on the air. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. James Marsters here tonight from Angel. You know him as Spike from Angel and from Buffy the Vampire Slayer all those years. Wednesday nights, WB, 9 o'clock. James also got himself a band called Ghost of the Robot, which is going to be playing at the Knitting Factory this Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and I saw the Knitting Factory the other day, and I thought, wait a minute, didn't it used to be somewhere else? And why is it there? And is it the one that's on Hollywood?
Yeah.
And it's right underneath the Galaxy Theater, or what used to be the Galaxy Theater?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
And
yeah.
Right by this wacky Hollywood museum that nobody seems to know about. Do you know about that, Drew?
The one, I only know about that one by the Hollywood Bowl.
There is a museum that's on Hollywood Boulevard. It's right down from the Chinese Theater. It's right where the Knitting Factory is.
They got Godzilla outside there in neon.
Yeah.
You mean the Hollywood Wax Museum?
Not the Wax Museum. There's a museum that has the set of Cheers on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be exciting.
And
it's one on the corner of
By the way, the set...
Yeah, Hollywood and Highland.
It's west of Highland.
West of Highland.
Yeah, about a block or whatever. Yeah. Sound. Is that further down than Kimmel is?
It's on the north side of the street.
As Kimmel? Oh, okay.
Other side. You know, here's the thing, everybody. Huh. You know, you want to meet William Shatner. You want to see the Batmobile. You want to see the Cheers set. Always disappointing. All of it.
Yeah.
It's Shatner, fat, hair plugs, Batmobile. Yeah. You just realize a lot of plywood and duct tape, like just orange tape and
it's
stuff.
I mean,
we had the Batmobile on the Man Show once. I remember Jimmy saying to me, "No way, is this the Batmobile?" I was like, he's like a 9-year-old.
That's very funny.
Because the Rocket.
Sounds like my son, like, no way.
Yeah, I mean.
No way, is this the Batmobile?
The Rocket's plastic.
The Rocket is a Quaker oatmeal, container spray painted black that's duct tape onto the back of the Impala. You know, it's not an actual rocket. Jimmy's like, no way, that's not the real one. No, it here's the thing. You take the car, you paint it black, you have it go by at 80 miles an hour, and you put a bunch of Day-Glow orange stickers on it.
You can get away with it. It looks cool. Close-up of it.
It's not even film. It was TV then, too. Right?
Yeah, but totally go get up on some of those, especially those mobiles, and you'll find out, first off, 3/4 of them are plywood. Just the facades and the stuff that looks like the shark's fin. It's just a piece of CDX ply that's been spray painted silver, It's always a disaster. But I'll tell you one thing you're not going to be disappointed in. You're not going to be disappointed in James Band at the Knitting Factory.
We are actually humming.
He has no Batmobile.
We got no duct tape, man.
No, we're
hitting. I got to say, we got a new album and we're... It's really good. Our new album is a lot better than the old one, and I think that's probably what you were hoping for when you're in a band. And
you want to move that direction, baby doll.
And we've been rehearsing. I just got finished filming, and we started daily rehearsals with the band, and it's just absolutely fabulous.
Well, you know what I like
about the band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good transition, Drew. Paige?
Uh-huh.
21?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging out. I was just calling to see. Oh, hi, James. Hi, Drew. Hi, Adam.
Hi. Hey.
Well, I was just calling to find out about James' new album. When is it coming out?
It'll be coming out, I imagine, next fall, early fall. We got to come back from Europe and finish it up, and then we got to master it and copy it a million times.
Oh, right on.
By September.
Cool. Yeah, I loved the last album a lot. It was really good.
Thanks. I thought that it showed a lot of potential, but it was really rough. There was a really jerk producer on it who wouldn't let us really do what we wanted to, and it was me. Actually, because I was kind of fronting the money for it at that time, and I didn't want to spend much money. And this time we have enough money as a band to really do it right, and it just sounds great.
Oh, well, that's
so,
good.
Yeah, do I get it. You won't be disappointed.
Oh, right on. So, yeah, I'm excited about hearing the new album then.
Yeah, right if you could get out. Now, you're calling from Chino?
Uh-huh.
How far is Chino, Drew?
It's Northern California. Oh,
that's what I thought. Yeah. Where the correctional facility is?
Yeah.
All right.
That's Chico.
Oh, no. That's Chico? I thought there was a Chino, too.
Chino's...
Hmm?
All right. Confused them. I confused Chico and Chino.
Yeah. I think it's Chino.
No, Chino, yeah, there's the Chino prison down here. It's by, like,
Chico's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Diamond Bar and everywhere.
Chico. Yeah, Chino, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, baby doll. Hey, listen, maybe James and the band will get up north one of these days.
No, she's down by Diamond Bar.
Oh, she's Diamond Bar
one. Yeah, Chino's down there.
Well, that's that one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, get out here to the Knitting Factory on Saturday.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're hitting. Come on down. It's going
to
be good.
Yeah, go down to Hollywood Boulevard. You see a guy in a Spider-Man outfit who has no ass. I see these guys every day because they're out front of Kimmel's show, you know, handing out flyers and taking pictures. Listen, I understand you're not going to get a, you know, top name a bodybuilder just, you know, for $7 an hour to get in that outfit all day, but at least get a guy with some ass. Those guys are like, you know what looks like a kid wearing pajamas? Yeah. Who's the guy in the Granimals out here? It's like Captain Kraft in his pants over here, like 128-pound guy, like super Man. Spindly with no ass,
oh,
and he's just in it. It looks like Spider-Man pajamas at a certain point.
Yeah.
And then the other one I saw yesterday, which was a new one I hadn't seen before, I think Jason from Friday the 13th.
Oh,
I think, but with a huge gut, like a fat Jason. Like these guys, it's funny if they play a guy who's not fat, they're fat. If they play a guy who's big, they're skinny. They're always a little bit off.
I think it would be hard to get people to do that job. I think that's a hard job. I used to do parties as Winnie the Pooh, man.
Oh, really?
That is a
hard
job.
You talked about this last time you were here.
Did I really?
Yeah.
It must be more traumatic than I realized.
Were you a party pal?
No, man, I lasted two parties. Oh, yeah?
Just close. Had a little dignity.
Man, that's hard. That's hard.
And they didn't hire you.
How dare you? They did. What now, what did you do? Because okay, here's what people don't understand. First off, many actors in this business who never make a penny.
Yeah.
And you know, you guys are listening, think about people getting rich. You're thinking about J-Lo. These guys, if they could pay their bills doing their craft and not have to temp and not have to be a waiter, server, whatever, they would be ecstatic. Yeah, they would sign on the dotted line. If I could go to these guys, put a little contract in front of them and say, look, you're not going to be a household name. You ain't going to have you're not going to be on a Wheaties box.
They would take it a second.
You get a two-bedroom apartment over there in Sherman Oaks, and we'll make the payments on the Acura. Of this. Where do I sign?
Yeah.
As they'd be
and
doing
we'll
what they do.
And we'll take
your soul. Still sign. So one of the gigs is, you know, so I guess in L.A., because there's a whole bunch of actors and everyone's desperate, there's a whole bunch of businesses other than the business, ancillary stuff that has sprouted off to the left and the right.
Yeah.
And one of them is all these sort of party guys. And so you get guys who have, you know, 18 years of Shakespearean training dressed up as one of the Ninja Turtles at a four-year-old's party getting $50, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you did it as Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like 17 at the time. And
did you have a rap? Did they tell
no,
you?
No, you know, I had a little show, but then I had to hang out with the kids, and they were good kids and everything. But that's just basically managing kids, and that's hard when you're dressed normally. But if you're dressed as an animal, it's just absolutely impossible.
Oh, and it's 103.
Oh.
And chats were.
And you can't tell them, you can't, like, lay a boundary down as poo. You know, how are you going to do that?
You got to keep your head
Stop
on,
touching
too,
me that
right?
way, kid.
But you got to.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't have that. My face was made up.
Made up.
It's like community theater thing.
I came this close to getting involved with a little something called the Party Pals, and a friend of mine did, and I went with them on the audition, so I auditioned my own self. I made it. One of the deal breakers was, you know, you had to put the head on for the outfit 100 yards down from the party. So you'd be driving your car trying to look through Fred Flintstone's styrofoam head, which, by the way, seems like could have been a lawsuit waiting to happen there. You know what I mean? Driving a motor vehicle with that Fred Flintstone's head and just basically looking through a couple of pixie sticks, trying to pull the piece of ass in down from the party and then hit it on foot. They couldn't see you. You couldn't see Fred Flintstone come driving up either. But outfit smelled to high heaven, of course, because there's no way to really clean those things effectively. This is pre-Febreze. This is pre. This is PF. You understand, Drew? Yeah, okay.
I have a million thoughts.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to share any of them?
Well, one was I was at Cornell last night, as you know, and one of these kids had a polo shirt, and they're called, so he got from the Gap, he said, and they're like worry-free clothing. He was like pouring ink on it and spraying wine on it. Stuff just flies off.
Really?
And it felt like cotton.
Wow.
It wasn't like a windbreaker. It was like cotton.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, everything.
That's totally
everything's got to be that
yeah.
now. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Make oh, that'll change my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got kids, yeah.
Yeah.
How will it hold up to vomit?
Oh, everything
just rolls off it?
Flew off it. Yeah. It's weird.
A kid's going to die of skin cancer in just a couple of months.
Could be.
Crystal?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, your fiancé became a paraplegic?
Right.
What happened?
He was in a motorcycle accident back in January. And he was a T6 fracture, which is mid-chest area.
Yeah.
And he's paralyzed from that level down.
Ugh.
And right now he doesn't have any movement or feeling below that point. So I was just wondering, I know there's grieving process and all of that has to happen. But I was wondering if there's any way that he would have any type of sexual function.
Yeah.
That would come back, or I don't know how long that would take.
Well, it's not so much that it has to come back, because a lot of the male sexual functioning is a spinal reflex.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't connect to his head. He doesn't feel anything.
Okay.
They can have erections sometimes, and some guys even can have orgasm. But
right.
If there's a problem with that, there is now Viagra, obviously, and there are people. Some guys get implants and things. So sort of time will tell as they work through this. But his sort of experience of it won't be the same, obviously.
Well, is he depressed?
He's a little depressed, of course, but it's not actually like that as bad as I was expecting it to be.
What do you mean? His depression's not as bad?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, down days where he just feels like he doesn't want to live it's like on and off.
Bad.
Yeah, but sometimes in some other days he's completely happy.
Wow.
Well, first off, the beginning's got to be horrible because,
right.
A, you're dealing with this new news of not being able to use the lower half of your body.
Right.
And then, B, you've not learned how to function that way because you've not had to up until then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, could you imagine having to learn how to read Braille at this stage of the game? Not that he has to do that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, the poo-poo and the pee-pee part of this is a big deal.
Yeah, I just
really
want to expect... I just don't know what to expect or if I should expect anything at all.
How
sexually?
Is the,
yeah, why not?
Okay.
Try. I mean, work with him. He obviously will want to try, I'm sure.
Well, plus the fact nothing wrong with the guy's mouth, right?
Right.
Yeah, he'll become...
How blind people's sense of hearing gets
right.
more acute?
Go watch Coming Home, man. There's
right.
a
yeah.
sexy scene about that.
He'll do you up like a rattlesnake with that. Actually...
Okay.
Yeah. All right, baby doll.
All right, thank you.
All right, good times.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, you know.
Time.
Well, what I'm trying to go out on a high note, Drew. Hey, it takes all kinds.
Yeah,
I'll tell
it takes
you
all
what.
Kinds. There you go.
What goes on with the poo-poo and the pee-pee and that?
Well, you got to get on a bowel program.
Oh, really?
It doesn't really happen.
To sign up for that.
Yeah, and then the pee-pee is all variable. So many of them just wear a catheter chronically, and then they get recurrent infections, and the skin breaks down, and
okay.
blah, blah, blah.
All right.
So we're quite a deal. They have to learn how to deal with.
You know, if I had the constant catheter, I'd be pushing for road trips, because I could really feel good about myself,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
You mean you wouldn't have to stop?
Why don't we grab a kegger and let's just drive straight on through to Oregon, fellas.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to need, I don't need to stop.
Hey, you want to use one of these?
You need
want to
try
one?
Try the Kathy?
You'll never go back.
All right. Once you go Kath. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break.
All right.
I want to get a little plug in, Drew.
For?
Well, I got a couple of things.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. First, we got the, and I expect, now this is going to conflict with James's Knitting Factory
Uh-oh.
Gig, so I can't invite James, but down the street at the Arc, Arc Light Theater is the Italian Film Festival, and Windy City Heat, the movie we produce, is going to be showing there Saturday night. So you can go to the arclight.com, whatever their webpage is, and get whatever information you need.
You guys
also,
are producers?
Me guys, meaning Jimmy,
yeah.
Basically. Also, Sunday, whatever that thing I hosted for Comedy Central,
oh,
the 2-hour special or whatever, Sunday. I don't know what time.
And then these guys may be on Sunday.
I haven't spoken to anybody.
Promote that.
Oh, look at Drew, everybody. Yeah, the Bobbsey twins are going to be in here. Well, maybe the Olsen twins are coming Sunday. What do you think, Drew?
I bet you they do.
Wow. So here's a picture of Dr. Drew. You see this, James? Mm-hmm. There's a picture of Dr. Drew from the new Olsen twins movie. Yeah. Papa Drew.
Right on, man.
What can't he do? I mean, we already know he can't do radio now.
Can't he act? That's right. A lot of things I can't do, we're going to find out what they are.
What else can he do?
My God. Well, welcome to our freaky fold, my
Look,
brother.
Motherfucker, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Drew, he
looked good, man. That's a good face for film.
Yeah, Drew's
yes, you can do that.
He's
that's,
very, very easy on the eyes.
That's a good
very
type.
Easy. He's,
you have nice
he's
eyes.
A, he's tough.
You.
He's a bitch
you
on the
too.
Ears, but
that's
he's great,
type.
Great on the eyes. Looking good,
good,
right?
In suit, man. Yeah, he looks
looking
good,
good
in a suit. You could play a lot of things.
I'm playing
in
the dad.
He can work. He's the Olsen twins' dad.
Rock on. I thought you were like the lawyer or something. You're the dad.
No, he's their daddy.
That's a big part.
Who's your daddy? Drew is.
So you want to be an actor?
No.
It's kind of he was recruited. He was recruited. Don't worry.
Okay.
Also, he'll be playing at the Troubadour Saturday night, James, about the same time your band's going on.
I'm not
going
to sell any tickets, man.
James Marsters is here tonight. Spike from Angel and, of course, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. James Marsters here tonight from Angel. You know him as Spike. Took that role over from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. 6 seasons. Slid it right over into
just
Angel.
Just squeezing that for every drop of money I can get.
Like a bar rag.
He's not going to let go of that bone.
No. But it's been a pretty good bone, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
What's the schedule
like
when
rolls
you
in one.
When you do something like Buffy? I mean, how many months out of a year are you working a calendar year?
It's 9.5, and it's 5 days a week, 12, never less than 12, like
really?
12 to 15.
So you're working.
Adam
you're
did
working.
1 week of that. He did 1 week of that, and oh my God,
it's real.
You've
work.
Never heard. I my kids when they were. Infants didn't whine like that.
It'll spin your head.
Talking about
it
Dawson's
takes a while
Creek.
To get used
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, we did
man.
Dawson's Creek for
oh.
a week.
Oh, yeah.
1 week, Adam did that.
That's a long
and,
never stop complaining.
Every night. I'll need $50,000 next time I do something like this.
It's, yeah, you got, yeah.
Wait a minute. How much did they pay me? Because
not 50, that's for sure.
Oh, really? Now I'm angry.
Pissed,
yeah. Now I'm really angry.
My brother moved down here and expected
$50,000? That's it.
That's what you said.
I've got to get more than that.
No, that's nothing.
It's nothing.
No, my brother moved down here, and he expected to spend a lot of time with me, and he finally got frustrated. He goes, dude, you are a slave. And I was like, yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Indentured servant, I prefer, but yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the real work. I mean,
except 80% of that 12 hours is spent leaning up against the truck at the with the truck
Teamsters.
Drivers.
Yeah.
Teamsters, yeah.
Yeah, I know, except no. for you need to be there. And that's the part that busts your
Oh,
chops.
Yeah, there's also that part where they take the tape from the camera and measure it to your face, which takes about an hour.
Isn't that? Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And then
God.
You have to be spontaneous after oh. that. No, the way we shoot Angel, the director of photography is so fast. He's from Australia, Ross Bergman, and he did Dead Calm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he lights in like 10 minutes, 5 minutes. So all of the time is not spent in your trailer waiting for them to be ready, like you kind of hope. You know, that's
yeah.
kind of the Hollywood dream.
Sure.
That no, it's actually spent on the set with more takes. So, I gotta say, I mean, Buffy was like that. Buffy was 40 minutes to do to change a lens or anything, and that was great.
True. You ever
I was
see
playing my guitar most of the time?
You ever see Dead Calm?
No.
No.
You should see that movie.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
It's about.
Nicole Kidman.
It's about a murder on a boat.
Wow.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman, Sam Neill.
But here's the whole thing. The whole, I mean, 98% of the movie, except for a little flashback or something, takes place out at sea. And you're usually used to being out at sea when it's high seas and all this sort of captains and this is doldrums, just dead calm as the title would state. But very interesting.
But dramatic. Shot really well. Yeah. And when you think about amazingly. It, not that easy to shoot. Interestingly, that's because dead calm.
No, true. Go see it. Okay. Thriller.
When did it come out?
Oh man,
years ago. Sam. It was like the movie that brought Sam Neill to a lot of people's minds. I think.
Drew thinks that's a chick, by the way, so don't talk to him about actors.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman, you'll like her in this.
Yeah.
It's probably been about 12, 13 years. What name is that, Drew?
Ariadne.
Yeah. Ariadne?
Ariadne off Naxos.
You're,
right?
You're 12?
Yeah.
What's up?
Your parents are opera fans or something?
No.
Like Greek mythology fans?
No, I'm just, Ariadne is, the ancient Greek princess or whatever.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. My nipples have, pus coming out of them, and it's weird.
Mm. That's probably more likely to be milk than pus.
What?
Mm. Are you on medication?
No.
Is there any chance you're pregnant?
No.
You smoke a lot of pot?
No.
Well, you got to tell your doctor about this. It may be something normal, it may be nothing, but to have milk production at your age is pretty unusual. And the most common reason actually would be medication.
It's not white or anything.
I know, that's what milk, females, when they produce milk, it's pretty clear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
lumps, it's like not coming out of the actual nipple, it's like lumps around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like on it, but not
Not the actual, not the high point. Not the button. All right. Drew. First off, just trying to pronounce her name. Really, trying to pronounce her name is all you need to know about her because everything feels like a handball against the drapes. Well, she's 12. I give her a break. She's lactating prematurely.
Yeah. But she needs to be checked out. I mean, there could be brain tumors and things associated with this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Most definitely.
Don't freak her out.
Thyroid conditions.
She needs to get checked out.
Absolutely. You need to go to your doctor and talk to them about it.
Who's Ariadne?
I can't remember the
Greek
story.
Greek mythology?
Yeah, Ariadne of Naxos. There was a famous Strauss opera about it.
Mm-hmm.
The hell is Anita. This? Amita?
Yeah, hi.
Amita with a M?
Yeah, it's Amita.
Okay.
All right, hold on a second. I got to say this for a second. Listen, all you a-hole parents out there, give your kids these crappy, stupid, confusing names. Please stop it. I had to do this godforsaken show today with a guy named Govind, okay? And it's like, there were 10 people I was working with, right? There was like a Robert and a Cheryl and a Susie and a Sam and a Steve. And Govind, I spent the entire time, because I was hosting a thing, and it was like, all right, Bobby, what'd you think of this? And Cheryl, and so I was sitting there the whole time. I spent the monopoly of my time, my day was monopolized with trying to figure out this guy's goddamn name. Is it Dovind? Dovind, Davin,
Grover.
Steven, Grovind, Govind, Govine. Now, okay, the guy's a nice guy and everything, but it's really intrusive for you to take your effed up name and have everyone spend the majority of their day trying to figure it out. It takes up way too much time. Here's the real, at least Govind doesn't mean anything. It's just confusing and no one can ever memorize it. And by the way, here's why people can't memorize your name. It's not a name. You know, what if I just said, hey, what's your name?
Needmouth.
It's Needmouth. I just made like a Jerry Lewis, it's amazing thing. Yeah, are you going to be able to remember that? No, it's nothing.
Yes, there's no reference.
And by the way, I can't go, oh, you know, my uncle's name. it's nothing. So what do you have to do? You have to focus. Focus. But now, at least the guy I'm working with today, A, nice guy. B, owns a nice restaurant, so I got to kiss his ass. But C, it doesn't mean anything. It's not connected.
I think it's now, like Plato's brother's name or something. Seriously.
All right. For me, that's still nothing. I'm from North Hollywood. Yeah. I barely, Plato, what's his name's dog.
But it's funny, it's all these Greek things tonight.
Here's now Amita over here. Every single day of her life, here's what it is.
Anita?
Yeah. No, it's not Anita. It's Amida.
I think and if you could take all those seconds that you wasted in your life, Amida.
You learn to speak Mandarin, Chinese, and play the guitar like Jimi Hendrix. Because every single person you meet, hi, my name's Amida. Anita, it's nice to meet you. No, Amida. You just have to correct every single person. And then if you read it like we are, we're sitting here reading, we go, it's a typo.
Yeah.
It must be a typo. Is it Amida? Anita? Amida? Yeah. Everybody. Listen, Amida.
It's Amida. Thanks, guys. I've never hated my name so much
in my life. Change it to Anita and kick your dad right in the nuts for me, if you would.
Hold on. We've got to take a break, Amida. We'll come right back in a second.
Okay. Please go with Anita.
Okay.
Okay.
Why not?
Listen, Amida, you want to be my favorite person in the world? Here's
sure.
all you need to do. All you need to do is every time somebody calls you Anita, correct them.
I usually don't, but you guys asked me how
good.
To say it.
Oh, I love you. Yeah. Now, you know, if it's a guy you think you're going to spend the rest of your life with, don't correct him either. No, go ahead and correct him. But if the chick at the DMV, leave her alone.
Yeah, I don't really care what people call me. I don't care. So
good girl. Hold on. All right, I'm coming around on this, Amida. James Marsters here tonight from Angel. We'll take us a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. This is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. James Marsters is here tonight.
Yeah, and Amida.
You know him as, Spike.
Yeah.
A lot of Spike in years. Angel, 9 o'clock on the WWWB. Wednesday nights. Four more episodes coming up, and then that's it.
Yep.
Unless you fans get off your ever-whining asses and start writing some letters.
And watch next week because it's absolutely fabulous. Angel and Spike get made into the most fabulous couples and asses for a whole hour. And it's...
huh?
Yeah. Well, we get made big fools of. Both Spike and Angel get made total fools of the whole episode, and it's really hilarious. And I had fun filming it, so that's going to be really good.
Amida?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
All right.
All right, baby doll. What's up? 17.
Okay, I'm 17. My friend started a Self-Mutilators Anonymous meeting, right. And there's only like 6 in the world. There's barely any.
Did you hear us talking about that last night?
What's that?
We were talking about this last night, whether or not there was 12-step for cutting.
Yeah, there's barely any. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it for a couple of seconds, but I didn't get to listen for very long last night.
All right, but did that inspire your meeting?
No.
That's no. It's been on for months now. It's been a couple months.
Your friend started it.
Yeah, and there's a few other meetings. She had gone to one that's around here, and she didn't like it. They weren't very serious about it and stuff. So
the idea is that a 12-step is a good way to help contain behaviors that are highly driven behaviors that are difficult to contain with any kind of use of your will.
Exactly.
So you can take the 12-step model and apply it to just about anything.
Just about anything, yeah.
What about me peeing in the sink?
Yeah, I mean, there's another meeting before us. That's the Clutterers meeting.
Oh, okay. So. Well, Clutterers.
Well, yeah, but I think 12-step can be overdone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but if people, I wouldn't look to it as a primary treatment for cluttering. But if people are having difficulty, it's a way to get support,
people's
way to process things emotionally.
It helps those people, right?
So. Well, I can see definitely where I see most severely addictive behaviors as what I call a bid for affect regulation. People who have deficiencies in their ability to regulate their emotional systems, and 12-step is a way to regain the ability to regulate and feel whole and feel good about yourself.
All right, so let's break that down for a second. If you're shooting heroin or cutting on yourself, or needing the crap beat out of you when your boyfriend's up to poop shoot,
right?
That is a need to sort of control your. You call it affect.
Your feelings. And by feelings is almost too narrow a concept.
But it's trying to regulate. It's trying to take hold of something.
Yes, to regulate, to feel good.
Yeah, but it's almost like by creating another very drastic feeling, you're controlling your feelings.
You might, some other uncontainable feeling you may not be always aware of is sort of satisfied or gratified or deferred or something.
Right. And so the 12-step is a good way to satiate that.
Rebuild, so you don't need to do those things anymore.
Yeah, because it gives you extra support that you can't give yourself.
Well, that's the meeting part, but the actual 12-stepping, the actual doing the 12-step with the sponsor is a therapeutic process. It's just a controlled, structured relationship, and it turns out that humans build their emotional systems through dyadic exchanges. I have an interesting question.
What, dyadic?
Through interactive, intersubjective, interpersonal experience.
Oh, but again, Drew, what is the step I hate?
All of them, I believe.
I know, but what's my least favorite?
Quitting. Oh, the Making Amends.
The eighth or ninth?
Yeah, I think it's eighth step.
For people call me.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hi, who is this? This is John. John who?
Oh, no.
You know who this
I've
is.
Had, I've had those.
Hey, dude. What's up? I haven't seen you since that party. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Yeah, well, I'm kind of watching TV now. Yeah, listen, I'm sorry for what I tried to do to you, man. It's cool, dude. I don't really want to relive it. No, it's not cool. What I did was wrong. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to get back to Survivor now because it's been some years since we did. Yeah. No, man. Listen, brother. I want to apologize. Yeah, no harm, no foul. No, yes, harm. Yes, foul. Okay. This is now more uncomfortable than whatever it is you actually did to me 9 years ago that you're calling about.
Yes.
Because at least I was high when you were doing that,
I've forgotten it already.
I forgot all about it. Now I'm sober and this is weird.
I have a question.
Let's just create a drive-through or a dummy or a hologram or something they can talk to other than actually confronting the person that they screwed with.
The amends Obi-Wan doll.
Yeah, just yeah, it's just a hologram. And you put whatever face you want on it. Gym coach, old girlfriend, dad, babysitter, whoever you got to apologize to. Korean liquor store owner, whoever you need to make amends to, go and just apologize your ass off. I can keep drinking, feeling good about myself, and we don't have to have this weird stilted. And here's the other thing that people discount. When you know somebody's really effed up, it makes it easier on you. Like when people come and go, dude, I love it. And you're going like, okay, he's not going to remember this tomorrow morning at school. But when he's sober and he's getting into that weird, hey, man, I got to. No, this is important to me, man, because I just want to say I'm sorry, especially when the voice starts cracking. I've done a lot of things I'm not too proud of. I'm always like, all right, is this one of them? What's the step where you call and apologize for this?
Right. We need a 13th
step. We need a 13th step where you then call back and apologize for the 9th step. All right. It's very uncomfortable, Drew.
Germany,
especially when you got as many drunken friends as I do.
Oh,
you get,
yeah.
I get those calls all day long. I now have my assistant field them. Tell Adam. All right. Ryan?
Hello?
Hello, buddy.
I'm here, Florida.
All right. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Are you a virgin?
Yes.
Shocking.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm devastated. No,
a brewery in blank claims that their beer has an erotic effect with men. For women, the owner claims they merely enjoy the sweet taste. And as for macho men, there's a 2-liter version which allows men to, quote, fully participate in the bedroom after drinking the liquid Viagra.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could be a little bit of a curve. It could be...
Yes, did this happen? Is this brewery in Germany or Florida?
Right, and you think brewery immediately, you think Germany, but he may be trying to trick us with that.
He may. On the other hand, that would mean he was smart enough to attempt to trick us.
And the story also called it liquid Viagra, and we don't know if Viagra is called Viagra in Germany.
Yes,
but it's
an
English
it
story.
Comes in a 2-liter container,
ooh,
which
liters.
Soda comes in, but not beer, to the best of my
not in this country.
Knowledge. Yes, you get your 40-ounce that Snoop is famous for. Other than that, I don't think it comes in a liter container. I'm going Germany.
I'm with you.
James?
Germany.
Ryan, we're going Germany.
Yeah, it's Germany.
Yeah. Best to stay away from the metric system, my friend.
All right, one more thing.
One more. All right.
All right. You're the same person as Norm Macdonald.
Yeah. Did he hang up?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think Norm should be more upset than me.
I think he means they both did Death on the Family Guy.
Don't you ever stop talking! I don't know. All I know is I think Norm Macdonald. I think people confuse me with a Norm Macdonald, and they also confuse me with Gilbert Godfrey, and I'm much better with the Norm mixture.
Yeah.
Although Gilbert, plenty funny and everything, but quite a few inches shorter than that.
I don't see the Gilbert thing. I get confused with James Marsden all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because X-Men came out, and everyone thought I was fabulous. Thank you, man.
Hey, you ride it out. Sophia?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's doing?
I don't feel penetration whatsoever, and I was wondering if that's something's wrong with me.
Do you have orgasm by other ways?
Only from self-stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, It may not be abnormal. There is a syndrome that some people get when they were sexually abused at a young age, particularly if the sexual abuse involved a painful experience, where they do something called dissociation. They sort of disconnect from that part of their body that was the source of their pain. Those people also tend to be prone to getting pelvic pain syndromes and quote, endometriosis, all this kind of stuff.
Anything like that, Sophia?
No.
Right. So it may just be you. I mean, you just by not feel anything, do you mean you can't have an orgasm with intercourse, or you feel numb?
I don't feel anything.
So you wouldn't know the difference between being in and being out?
Right. Like, if when a guy tries, you know, fingers, anything, mm-hmm. I don't feel anything. There's nothing.
See, that is, you know... I mean, here's the thing. If we're talking to someone and they're not having an orgasm,
we hear that
every night.
Yeah.
Being numb, I mean, really not feeling anything, is cause for some alarm.
Yeah, let's go a little further. Were you adopted or anything?
No. I have happy family life. I'm really close to my parents.
I understand, but this kind of thing, the stuff that causes this is usually very early in life, like the first couple of years. And no, nothing happened during those 2 years? No. Nothing you're aware of, no stories in the family, or
no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just you.
When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 17.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. No, so no problems, no abuse, nothing like that. Well, then you owe.
But she has orgasms, and she just doesn't feel much with penetration.
Yeah. I'm running a few just of them in my day. Yeah.
Pay attention to the other part.
How about oral sex? How would that be treating you?
I've never had oral sex.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's probably what's missing, I suspect.
I'm a giver, not a receiver. So.
We'll receive a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. And Drew's got to look on the puss. Because this makes it a little suspicious.
Yeah. Though. That's kind of an unusual.
Not that. Unusual it's a little for a 20-year-old, but we're piggybacking it onto our initial suspicions.
Yeah,
a lot of guys don't like to do that too, so it might just be who she's with.
No one likes to do it, but we pretend. The smart guys pretend.
So you have a boyfriend now?
No.
Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Yes.
And how long was that relationship?
I don't really do relationships. I hate to say it, but I'm more of a
Did she use the F word?
I think
there?
She did.
The funny thing about her F buddy sort of thing is it came out like suck buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
She may have beat us on a technicality.
Unacceptable. Yeah.
But
and I suppose if there can be F buddies, there can be suck buddies.
No, it
buddy.
Was definitely
now,
the F.
I think it was a bunny. The F. Okay, well, now I'm on to this. Let's get going here.
All right, hold on a second.
Let me talk to her.
Hold on. Anderson, what was it?
It was F.
It was definitely F, yeah.
No, not definitely.
Well, he heard on delay. He listened to it after.
Oh, it was close. All right, she's got something going on.
Find out what her parents do for a living.
Ooh. Ooh? Yeah. Sophia?
Yeah?
Listen, screwball. Stop dropping the F-bomb, would you, you idiot?
Sorry.
Jesus Christ, are you retarded? God damn it. All right, what do your parents do?
I'm really horny. My dad is a salesman and my mom's an accountant.
Aha! Uh-huh. Drew knew it. Okay, look, something's wrong with you because it started off with, hey, listen, your parents are great, everything's fine, everything's beautiful. And that sort of gave way to, I give, and I don't have relationships.
Yeah.
I'm an F buddy. And now...
And you dropped the F biome. You can't. Yes. You don't know where you are.
Red flags are popping up.
Everywhere, yeah.
So what's up? Something's going on. Did your dad cheat on your mom?
No, not at all. They've had a 20-year, you know, relationship, and it's been, you know, perfect.
Fueled by lies and alcohol?
No, like, I mean...
It hasn't been perfect. Look, so, okay, then you have a brain tumor if your parents were perfect, because no 20-year-old girl is supposed to be a F-buddy.
Especially when, Sophia, you get nothing from sex.
Well, like, that's why I do all the stuff I do, because, I don't know, like, at first I thought it was maybe the guy.
Sophia, here is why people sometimes get into compulsive sexuality. They feel empty. It's the only way they feel whole, and they get no satisfaction out of it, but they have to keep doing it compulsively, and that is a sign of trauma. Mm. And that's sort of what you're telling us here, that something like that, that's sort of in you, that you have to keep doing it, but you can't be intimate, which is really what ultimately that's a bid for. Can't do that, so you have to keep trying to fill the void with these.
I'm playing a different angle. Big gal?
No.
Not a big ass, huh?
No.
No? Okay. Now something's really up. Right, listen, Sophia, I don't know what...
We're just adding up the score.
What's wrong with you, but emotionally something is up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If something happened when you were really young,
you
would have covered it up.
Yeah,
and
it may just be implicitly left behind in your brain mechanisms and now manifesting as behaviors that you can't seem to understand or get a handle on or be...
Well, let's just assume everything was fine and dandy. Why don't you get yourself a relationship and start
feeling
that out? And then when you get in a consistent monogamous relationship, you can have the guy go down on you and get some pleasure.
Yeah, because he can learn how to please you.
But, I mean, I want it from, like, the...
Shut up. No. Something's wrong with her.
Guys are ruthless.
Oh, well, listen. I got way too much time tied up in these kids. I was a carpenter. I had some pride. I had some dignity. Go home at the end of the day. Hold my head up. Now I got to go home. Crawl inside a Jack bottle. Cry myself to sleep.
All right, here's the whatever is up with Sophia, we're not able to get to in the few minutes we have here. But
now, Sophia.
Right, we're just adding up the score, and there's definitely some. The way she's trying to solve this problem ain't going to work. Her idea, her concept of what she's looking for is going down the wrong path, that she's not going to find satisfaction on the road she's on.
I don't even know what her plan is. Her plan
is to find a guy that can just do this to me.
Until one of them breaks through.
That's right. That's
not
going
to happen.
Not going to happen. That's right.
Okay. And I really mean it. Listen, guys are not girls. They're cut out differently. 20-year-old guys love to have a nice wake of F buddies left in their trail. But not 20-year-old girls.
Well, 20-year-old girls can go through a phase like that.
Yeah.
But not with numbness and, you know, and I don't do relationships and all that. No.
Jenny?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yes.
What's happening?
I was put on birth control not too long ago because I was diagnosed with ovarian cysts. And the birth control they put me on says that I'm more susceptible to yeast infections. And I've had, since I've been put on it, which was a few months ago, I've had maybe about 3 yeast infections, and I'm wondering if there's a way that I can avoid that, I'm doing wrong.
Are you using something intravaginally, a ring or something?
No, it's a pill. It's Kareva, if you've ever heard of that.
They got a yeast ring?
Well, no, they have hormones, things you can put inside and stuff. Sometimes.
In the ring?
Yeah.
I'm not using the ring.
Yeah. I don't not familiar with that medicine. What's it called?
Kareva.
How do you spell it?
Kariva.
Okay, I'll go look up, see what that is.
I guarantee Drew comes back and goes, then you're going to be angry.
I'm going to be angry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I didn't know what the real name was.
No, you will have known it.
Oh, really?
Something's going to happen. Yeah, you'll know what it is.
But be that as it may, you could just keep using the creams over the counter. That's all you can do. If you have something that's causing recurrent yeast infections and you've chosen to take that medicine, that's a potential side effect. There you go.
Yeah, the last one I had, though, was extreme. They put me on a pill, Diflucan.
Yeah, well, that's an anti-yeast medicine.
Is that just more, strong or something? Because
you don't want to take that
over the counter.
You don't want to take that all the time. It's extremely powerful.
No, it gave me a rash over 90% of my body, so it really did suck.
You don't ever want to take it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you get over 90% of your body, just go ahead and say, my whole body. I got a rash.
Exactly.
Scalp out.
You're in like 97%. Just go ahead. I got a rash all over my body.
Left your perineum.
But on the bright side.
Inside of my right nostril was fine. Other than that. Wow.
Oh, my.
Well, you could explore other birth control if that's really given.
Let me look at you. Well, you talk to James. Here's a question for James while I look this up.
It's uncomfortable, me and James here alone. I've got to be honest with you. Drew, please. All right, look it up. Wow. So, James.
Hey, man.
Hey.
How you doing over there?
Hey, man? It's great to have you back on the program. Thank
Christ. I noticed
Christ,
that Chris
was
looking at all the pictures of the Olsen twins here. Jesus, Chris.
Engineer Chris just just undressing himself with his mind.
Check, Dr. Drew hung out with the Olsen twins. How long were you there?
A couple weeks.
In Canada. Dr. Drew with the Olsons.
You are now the god of my band. They're in love with
them. Oh, is that right? Oh, my God. They're nice girls. Adam's going to meet them this weekend, next show.
Yeah. Actually, I'm seeing Ashley Saturday.
Oh, you're going out?
Yeah.
You'll like her.
I mean, true. But they're coming in on Sunday, God willing. And look, I don't care if we get one of them or one and a half of them or three of them. I just want those goddamn Olsen twins in here, Drew. Yes?
Whatever you say.
All right. Did you find that medication?
Yeah, I'm looking. Hold on. I got to read a little bit.
I got a serious question over here for James from Dina. Dina?
Yeah, hi.
You're 18?
Yeah, I am. First of all, I want to say, Adam and Dr. Drew, you guys are awesome. I listen to you guys all the time. And second of all, James?
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you so much. I don't know if you read the thing, but you kind of saved my life.
How?
Right on.
This may sound kind of lame, but I was really depressed and going to kill myself one day. And I happen to have Buffy on in the background, and it was a musical.
Uh-huh.
And so, James, when you said that one line, it was, life's not a song, life isn't bliss, life is just this, it's living. You'll get along, the pain that you feel only can heal by living. I realized that I shouldn't kill myself.
Wow.
Right on. That's,
So I've been trying to actually talk to you for a while. I went to the Ghost of the Robot concert when you were in San Francisco at the Great American Music Hall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And tried to talk to you then, but you were kind of like
in and out. It's just a crazy situation.
Well, yeah.
There's just a lot of people around at that point.
Yeah. When you're rocking, you know what I mean? You don't got time.
Yeah.
But man, I'm a part of a very large group that tells stories, and that's we really do think that we're talking about real things, and that makes me really happy that it gave you the little extra bit that you needed it that day.
Huh? Hey, you got a decent voice too, Dina.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do any singing?
No, actually, my parents have always said I had a good voice, but a couple of my friends have made fun of me for my voice before.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were just kidding or if I actually have a crappy voice, but I guess not.
Yeah,
Thank you.
You have a good voice.
All right. Yeah, see you at karaoke.
Yeah.
Good times, baby doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, or get onto a radio show where you can be like a morning DJ. You got one of those voices.
Yeah.
You know, those pepper voices.
All right, so you haven't killed yourself.
Maybe I can be a guest on Loveline.
You want to be a guest on Loveline?
Sure, why not?
Listen, I got to tell you something. If we put everyone who thought about killing themselves but didn't on the show, we would we'd have several thousand guests a night. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Drew is locked into that computer now. Not finding anything, buddy?
It's not popping right out of me here. It's funny. It's here, but it's hard to find information.
I got a story that's pretty close to Dina's over here. When I was 18, I heard the song Man Eater by Hall & Oates and tried to kill myself. I actually tried to drive the car off the cliff. And then I realized I could just shut the radio by turning the knob. At first, I thought I was just going to ram the car.
Or Spirit in the Night by Manfred Mann. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
There's a lot of bad stuff going on down there. Dude, you know what I was thinking about the other day? A song that Blue Big Chode is Dirty Laundry. Kick 'em when they're up. Kick 'em when they're down.
Yeah.
Kick 'em when they're up. Kick him in the neck. Once in a while, I don't know which eagle is responsible for that piece.
Henley?
That's
Don. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the eagles creating a seagull crap. It's basically, ironically. But once in a while, I walk down the halls here and into the 93.1. Here at Pipe Down, the studio here, the classic oldie station up the hall, and I hear that song, and I want to just put an explosive vest onto me like a Shiite and extremist and just go into the studio and take everyone out.
There were good songs that year, too.
You know. Oh, that Dirty Laundry song just makes me want to... A combination between wanting to just vomit and attack somebody, like some program director that got too much blow put in front of him. Let me just say
that. No, the sad truth is that there's people that's their favorite song. That's the sad I mean, kind of frustrating part of it.
I know, people. But, okay, let me just say this. Let me say that, Drew, stop looking that thing up. I'm done with you with that. That's over already.
It's time for a break, isn't it?
I'm saying something important. I need you to focus on me over here.
Yes, sir.
Let me explain. Let me explain something. People are stupid. They really are. Look, if you hit them long enough and hard enough with just about anything, you can get people involved with it. That doesn't mean it's good. That just means their brains are malleable.
Yeah.
If you take a god-awful song like Dirty Laundry, a flaming turd of a piece of ass of song, and ram it up people's ass long enough, eventually they'll like it. They'll like it like Mom's Familiar Cookie.
Yeah, they'll have memories attached to it.
In the first place. They just have memories attached to it. It becomes like the Pete Ellis Dodge theme song. I sing it. I don't even know. I know all the words to Dirty Laundry. Yeah. That song sucks ass.
Yeah, we have memories connected to it, too, because it's been forced down our throats.
I would like to sue the program directors, Don Henley. I'd like to sue anyone of the engineer, anyone involved with that song. I want my life back.
I love your passion for music, man. You should be a musician.
I don't like good music. I only hate bad music. That's my passion. My passion is for songs like Man Eater and Dirty Laundry that we've had forced up our ass, and then people try to defend. They're like, "Oh, that was a good song." Yeah, Hall & Oates. Jesus Christ, the band is revered. They write songs like Family Man.
Yeah.
Think about those songs and how badly they blew, everybody.
But they had so many hits.
Please, the Eagles. Please, enough with you guys. Didn't you retire already and all that crap and your solo crap? Here's the thing, too. Eagles, 3 good songs, 30
one
horrible
pretty good
songs.
Album. Yeah, one pretty. Hotel California was
that's
okay.
That's it. All right. Yeah, I could go on for an hour and a half. Drew's still over there, transfixed
now
by the computer.
The boys of the all right.
Oh, that's, yeah. We'll yeah. take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there, James Marshers. From, I'm a Spike from Buffy and now from Angel. Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock, WWWWB. Yes, Drew.
What?
You find out anything?
Yeah, it's Merced. It's a low-dose birth control pill.
Mm-hmm.
Does not necessarily prone to yeast infection, but, any of them can.
Mm-hmm. Saw the darkness on Kimmel's show the other night.
How'd that go?
Not great.
Shocked. I'm shocked.
The darkness copped a little attitude and walked off our show on Tuesday. And then I saw him performing live. And I was curious, and I was trying to go in with an open mind. Didn't sound too great live.
Were they interviewed by Jimmy or anything?
No.
No. They're just, too important for that? Or
Hard to tell. Yeah. But and it's tough with bands on TV. I'm going to give them that. Band plays Saturday Night Live and stuff. It's never quite as good as if when you're in the audience. But talked to a few folks over at the show and said, was it just me or did Darkness kind of sound a little bit sucky on Wednesday night? And they were like, yeah, not great. So I thought, oh, good.
I wouldn't think it would be what the record company would want is a band walking off a show like this.
Yeah, who cares?
It's amazing how many people, even in normal clubs, will do pre-recorded stuff for their lead vocal and will be absolutely cheating. I've been playing clubs around everywhere. I've been amazed by how much cheating there is.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, it's such a ripoff.
By the way, I don't know, but if you're going to see a live concert, I mean, there's all kinds of rules, like if you're doing a game show. What I mean? And it's like, well, wait a minute. It's just a TV show. No. There's very strict rules if you're playing a game show. To me, if you're going to see a live concert,
it should be, as they say, not pre-recorded.
And the band pre-records things. I was watching some of the Britney Spears special on HBO or whatever the other week. And there's this whole scene where I was watching the whole thing and I was like, it looks like she's lip-syncing half this stuff. And then there was a part where she sprinted up a huge flight of stairs and got to stop. Now, here's the thing. Try singing and sprinting up 28 stairs simultaneously with your skipping every other step and see if it doesn't make your voice go just a little bit and then get to the top and hit the high note without
a microphone two inches from your mouth.
You got one mic up the tukai and the other's up your nostril and you're sprinting up a long flight of stairs and there's not an ounce of breath or whatever to it. It's like, and I thought to myself, I was more angry at the bad choreography than I was at the lip syncing. Like, I was like, look, do not put yourself in a dunk tank. Yeah, you know what
it's
I mean?
So
like,
obvious.
Like,
and
you're gonna lip sync. Don't run in place and do Tai Bo.
Let the background people do all that frenetic dancing so that you can sing.
Right.
But they have computers where if you go off the note of the melody, it will kick in the pre-recorded melody until you get back on track.
Really?
Oh, it's just obscene.
True. Yeah. We gotta get one of those for the show.
Absolutely.
Every time you say something you wish you didn't say,
stupid, it just kicks in. Carole's telling another high school football story. It just slides in.
Wow.
Drew's about to punch the mic again.
Well, maybe we would just put, sort of an electrical shock device in our seats.
No,
like, if we start getting
I like this one much better. Yeah, you can't sprint up a bunch of stairs and singing all the while and never hear it in your voice with the mic 3/4 of an inch from your mouth.
No way.
All right. And you do, by the way, when people are singing, you hear them, doing
their
thing.
Yeah, but that's the fun of it, is that they might make a mistake, actually, because it's live. That's dangerous, and that's exciting, I think.
Yeah, I don't understand kids today, Drew, but what do I need them for? I just do a radio show where we talk to them. Chris?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I would imagine that at 21 years old, I would have a pretty healthy libido, right? I mean, that would be something.
Sure, so, Chris, you're right.
Absolutely. And I found that the past few times that when I am in an intimate situation with a female, I don't get an erection, and I don't really feel. I don't
well,
feel
like
what this,
said female is that the possibility that that's like,
all right. Like, no, you're up in your head, Chris.
Yeah, like a robot.
Well,
I'm
a crack a brew and maybe take a little toke off a joint.
Are you nervous?
No, that doesn't help.
Are you nervous when you're with the girls?
No, I mean I really enjoy being with them. So
okay. All right, here's what Chris needs. I was looking to call for.
Well, maybe
James
he's doing too much pot or too much alcohol.
No, he's a clean guy.
He needs a steady girl that he can work things out with and get his confidence
and feel
level
comfortable
up with.
Yeah. All right. I think the most guys are the same way. Most guys, really, if we're honest about it, I mean, we can go and do the stud thing and have sex with a stranger, but we really enjoy it much more when you get to know somebody.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
No.
We just don't admit it because we don't want to say, that's the macho thing is not to say that, but it's kind of normal.
Well, look, what it is there's a point where you're getting to know somebody and you're feeling comfortable. It's new and you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the problem. Either it's new and it's great, but you're uncomfortable, or it's comfortable and it's old.
Yeah.
There's this sort of part where they cross, usually about week 5.
Men actually have a biological drive for diversity.
Yeah.
And new.
Tell your
the chicken story.
Old lady listening. Yeah, tell the story. Tell chicken the chicken story.
Something
Drew.
Called the Coolidge effect that affects
Drew
all mammals.
A bunch of chickens in the cooler
and
after our 43rd president.
It's after the president from back in the turn of the century, and basically, the federal government used to maintain farms, and they used to take the president around once a year to inspect the farms. And this President Coolidge came around, and he and his wife were inspecting the farm. They separated, and they were going through the farms, and the farmer took Mrs. Coolidge over the chicken coop and wanted to held up his prize rooster and said, Mrs. Coolidge, understand, this is our prize rooster. He copulates at least 100 times a day. The farmer was very proud. And Mrs. Coolidge looks at the rooster and says, Monsieur, please be sure to point that out to the president. So now she goes on about her business, and now the president comes along, and now the farmer is still proud but a little more subdued about things. And he goes, Mr. Coolidge, your wife asked me please to point out that this is our prize rooster, and he copulates at least 100 times a day, at which point the president said, with the same chicken? No, with 100 different chickens.
Thank you, Calvin.
Yeah.
All right. God, yes. Drew, and let me say this. Drew's only good story.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's a winner for you.
It's a winner. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Lots of mileage.
No, I hear it only about once every 14, 15 months, and I enjoy it. Well, I got to say that. People are too quick to do that. Oh, I've heard this one. No, I always enjoy it when Drew tells that one. I do.
If you have discipline in every 14 months, then...
Yeah.
If
it dropped down to a year, I think...
It'd be too much.
There'd be trouble.
Yeah, too much.
All right, so who the hell? What the hell? Who the hell?
It's 5.
Yeah. He's got to... Chris.
I think he's got to work it out with somebody.
Yeah, guys need that chick they can get. Here it is. This is the chick you take your shower with. your first shower with. You know what I mean?
Is it the fart?
You walk too? Around naked. You break wind in front of. You try a few different positions in front of. This is the, you know, you have sex in a weird place or you get a little oral on the road. This is the one you work all that stuff out with.
Yeah.
That's what you need. Now, once you do that with one chick and you kind of work it all
and
out,
you know where the buttons are.
Then you know where everything is.
How old should a couple be when they're getting that workout one in?
Should the guy or the girl or whoever? James is 17. No, I was going to say it usually works out this way.
17 to 22 is the range.
You have that relationship. You know, you have that girlfriend boyfriend in high school. Maybe you do it a couple times, but it doesn't. It's not experimental. It's just you're lucky to be doing anything. You don't. That's the one where you're lucky to be going off the 3 meter board. You might as well just do a cannonball. You don't want to get any triple pike half twist crap, right? Somewhere around 19 or 20, it's time. Time to start experimenting. It's time to pull out the vibrator, go start working the back door, and the comfort level too. That thing, you know, it's weird because for a while you're humping, but you can't see each other naked. Like you can't walk around nude.
Yeah.
You know, this is that walk around nude person. You know, take the shower, see him walk into the living room, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and someone who's kind of your own age, so you're kind of going through the same thing at the same time.
This is the first person you take on a small trip, like a weekender. And then you're going up to Santa Barbara for a couple
age
days.
We're talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chris?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I had a question for Dr. Drew, actually. I was told, in high school, I was always told, you know, condoms are safe. They'll protect you from all STDs, or most STDs, I should say. But one of my friends was telling me that HIV can actually go through the skin of a condom. It's a small enough organism that
is a concern. That's not been proven, but people have had concerns about that.
Oh, so it can happen.
Well, no, I didn't say it could. I said people are concerned that it might be the case.
Now they're concerned about that with latex condoms?
With latex condoms, but clearly it's a lower risk than if you didn't use the condom. The question is how good of a barrier is it?
And because
probably
it's
pretty good.
Like any kind of filter, in that there'd be less dirty air coming through the filter than if you removed it completely. Yeah, I mean, even more so than
less likely for there to be anything getting through. There's a possibility it could get through, but they don't know that it gets through.
If you use a spermicidical condom, then you.
Nah, that
news?
Actually
doesn't
that,
like those.
Yeah,
this is not good news.
It says they taste bad.
No.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Chloe.
Tina Fey did you like, what she did over that?
Oh, when I told her about something gross?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's true. Why not? And by the way.
We don't know, but there was the World Health Organization came up with some data that showed that they actually increases the risk of transmission of HIV. Naloxone 9 may be an irritant. It may slightly increase the risk. But
Because it opens things up a little bit or causes
but again,
an opening?
A very, very slight effect. The thing they did see was it doesn't seem to benefit anything. It's not a big deal.
Wow.
Okay, so what's up with now? What is it? The AIDS virus? Is it a molecule? What is it? It can
protein. It's tiny.
Okay, but
it's not a bacterium like chlamydia.
Is that bigger?
Way bigger.
It's way bigger.
Yeah.
So the difference in size between chlamydia and AIDS
huge.
Is between like Shaq and the guy who played Webster. That kid. I'm thinking of two black,
More like Shaq and an
personalities.
Ant.
And an ant.
Wow. Yeah.
Who's still a little bigger than the kid who played Webster. So
yeah,
you're not really
that's
making
it.
Okay. So, it's just a huge difference in size.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at through a microscope at chlamydia, much, much bigger.
Virus, you need electron microscopes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we need a titanium kind of glove.
Yeah, but the idea is that people have thought, well, the latex seems to have these pores in them, and maybe those pores are about the same size as a HIV particle, and maybe it can get through. It'll be helpful, believe me. Wear a condom is better than not wearing a condom, and these are all risk reduction measures. They're not perfect.
Yeah. So what about latex gloves then with the AIDS virus?
That's right.
Well, I mean, that's all they wear, right?
Yeah, but that's skin and not mucosal surface exposure.
Yeah, but still. You see how I use that, James? It works almost every time.
But still.
Yeah, but still. See, now I'm right. We got to move on.
Yeah.
All right.
Commercial. There we go.
Well, there you go, Drew. I should have been on the speech and debate team in high school.
Yeah, but good times.
Yeah, but still.
It would have been great.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. James Marster's here tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's a love line. James Marster's here tonight. Spike from Angel. Drew and his stupid hypotheticals over the air.
Got you guys all worked up. I was going to bring that up on the air, too. I'm really messing with you.
Trying to take a whiz. James has one about being on the moon.
Yeah. It was actually in the show, so I can't take credit for it. It was really good. Cavemen or astronauts, who would win if they're on the moon? Not on the moon. If they're just on Earth fighting, mm-hmm. who wins in a fist fight, cavemen or astronauts?
I mean, now the astronauts, are they laying down with their equipment and stuff?
Yeah, so they fly through time, right? And they come back in the Mesozoic era or whatever era it was.
Right.
And they land down. Yeah. And they can get out of their spacesuits if they want to, mm-hmm. but they find cavemen to get into a fight.
Oh, well, cavemen takes them.
I'm going caveman if I'm just going pure hand to hand.
But
if you gave the modern
astronauts
man,
will find more weapons.
That's we're saying astronaut, but we just mean modern man.
Yeah.
Gave astronauts 20 minutes to put a plan together. They could probably fashion something for themselves.
That's right.
Plus, they would also respond in a coordinated fashion.
The astronauts.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're also trained
they communicate,
by military.
And they can communicate,
right.
too.
But I still go with the cavemen, man, because astronauts are going to be small. They always pick the small guys in those capsules.
They can't have any lard asses.
They don't have space. Man was small, too.
Yeah, they weren't that big.
But thick?
Were they? Well,
big well the Flintstones,
the
he was thick.
Thing, yeah.
He loved pizza,
I mean, did you see John Goodman? Huge man.
Love pizza.
Love pizza and big ribs.
Take your head in his hand, man.
All right. I got my hypothetical, too.
Yeah.
This is about effing the person at the office.
Oh. No, we've heard this one. No. Come on.
No,
this is a good call. This is a good call.
This is powerful
Somebody
stuff.
Wants to give you a bar mitzvah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Come on. Let's hear it. Listen to this.
You're lucky, man.
I know. I hear about that.
This is going to be powerful. What? Where are we going to?
Five.
Oh, five? Well, how the hell do I know?
Because I had the sticky up there.
The sticky was over on one. Alexis?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Uh-huh.
What's
Hi,
up?
Guys. Adam, I think that you should have a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Are
too
you
late now. It's too late. Now I'm literally a millionaire and I got everything I need. But back in the day, I could have used one.
I understand, but I feel like you have enough respect and, like, you should be recognized in the Jewish community.
I should. You know what I mean? Number one honorary Jew right here.
Well,
Ace Carolla.
Help your career, too.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't hear you, but we could find you a Torah portion and we could do all sorts of stuff. It could be so much fun. My mom can make matzo ball soup.
I'm into it. I'm not into the studying the Torah part.
Learning Hebrew.
Yeah.
So we'll have like a 13-year-old boy say your part or something.
That's what I
stand in.
That's what I like. I'd be up there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming out. I'm now going to read from the Torah. Josh, get in here. Come here, buddy.
I mean, I think that's reasonable. I don't remember my Torah portion, and I don't really think that it had any.
Oh, you had the bat mitzvah?
Yes, I did.
All right, listen, you Jews got to work this out. This is a dude thing. This ain't a chick thing. This is for the fellas. You know what I mean? You guys, you got your menstrual cycle. You got a lot of stuff we don't got.
Your menstrual cycle. Wow, they have a little.
That's like the same.
Playing a lute once a month. Man.
Menstrual cycle.
No, you that's got, equal.
You got your menstrual cycle. I'm tired, Drew. I went to bed. At 2 when I got up at 6:30.
Nice.
You got your menstrual, your traveling menstrual cycle. The point is you have things we don't have. Why? Don't take our stuff.
Yeah.
The bar mitzvah, that's for the fellas.
But I'm a Jew. I mean, it's more about...
Okay,
I mean,
well, you don't have a beard and a peos, do you?
You didn't become a man.
You didn't become a man.
That's not fair either. I don't even get to wear the yarmulke. I don't get to wear, you know what I mean? Like,
do you really want to wear the yarmulke?
So badly.
Right on.
All right, so you want to give me, and what's involved with the bar mitzvah, by the way?
Nothing. You just have to read something. Well, when's your birthday? I know it's coming up sometime. You said, weren't you going to do a countdown to your birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't you, but you were going to be recognized for your birthday and be really excited about it. But you just find a Torah portion, something that was written in the Torah around your birthday.
Oh, like really? That's how it works?
Yeah, kind of like whatever they would read on that Saturday, mm-hmm. depending on their schedule. In L.A., mm-hmm. things get a little booked up, so you might have to read something for a few weeks after, but that's the way mm-hmm. it goes.
All right, and would I pick a theme?
Sure, for the party?
Yeah.
Oh, you're more interested in the party. The party's where it's at. I'm just telling you, you have to do the religious stuff. The party, you can do whatever you want.
All right. Well, I like to pick like a Star Wars theme.
Cool. You're in.
I thought you'd have stripper theme.
No.
Stripper
Star
Wars.
Keep it cool. And hey, everybody. Similar Corolla Stora, honorary Jew. Candy Stage 5. Yeah, that's why I went Vince Neil there. And like a strip club DJ doing it.
It could be arranged.
All right, baby doll.
I'll tell you what. I'll check up on you around your birthday. How about that?
Please do. It's the end of May.
Okay.
It's the end of May, and I may be heading toward a bar mitzvah. Thank you, Alexis.
I'm in L.A., and I listen all the time, so I'll check in, I promise.
Thanks, sweetie Pete.
Good night, you guys.
All right. Bye. You don't have to worry about the Jews. They always land on their feet. They really do. They take care of their own. They take care of business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I could be one. Yeah. And I could be...
You couldn't take care of anybody else, but you take care of business.
I do got the nap. I got the nappy Jew hair.
Yeah.
I got that annoying voice many Jews have. I have the voice.
You like food? You complain a lot?
Oh.
Are you
nobody
good?
Complains. Nobody complains. I complain about first class flying. Yeah.
All the time.
My nuts aren't warm enough? What do you like?
Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Don't start it.
The ones on the top are colder than the ones on the bottom because the ones on the bottom are insulated by the ones on the top. Please, somebody do something about this. This is an insult. Yeah.
All right, we're taking a break.
Horrible food and in such small portions. That's basically my key to life. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Thank Christ. James Marsh is everybody.
I will watch something that's after South Park, so.
That's right.
Obviously, be sure to catch Adam this Sunday.
Oh, yeah. This Sunday on Comedy Central. That's right. Big special. Big bar mitzvah.
James Marshall.
Right. James. Yeah. Angel, 9 o'clock, WB, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I want to thank Anderson and Ann and Junior, producer Lauren and Chris
and Brian,
the fine people that make this show the good solid 7 that it is, week in and week out. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. By the way, here's why people can't memorize your name. It's not a name. You know, what if I just said, hey, what's your name?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.